You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And off we go. Welcome to Colts Narrow Chat on this Tuesday evening. I'm Jeremy Barron, and I'm joined by Robbie Dunn. We're going to be talking about a breathless five-goal thriller at the Wanda Metropolitano tonight, aren't we, Robbie?
Absolutely, yeah. I hope you've caught your breath after that.
Man.
A wild one for sure.
And a lot went down, both positive and negative, for Atletico. So we're going to try to hit on both, because it's very easy in a game like this that ended like this to just focus exclusively on the negative. But Atletico did a lot of good things tonight, didn't they? Even in the loss.
Yeah, they did, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think we saw how good Atletico can be when Griezmann, João Felix, Lemar, and Rodrigo de Paul are all kind of clicking and they're all playing. Sorry, I've got my...
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
My WhatsApp.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I think we saw just how good they can be. We saw just how good they can be when all those guys are playing and when all those guys are clicking. And I think it's a far more dynamic midfield and attack when they're there, as opposed to some of the alternatives.
Yeah, the directness and the dynamism. Lemar, too, who played a really, really good game, I thought. But Liverpool, in the end, Robbie, did get a measure of revenge for what happened a couple seasons ago in this competition, a 3-2 victory over Atletico at the Wanda Metropolitano. And they were the better team the first 15 minutes, definitely, when they went two goals up. What happened to Atletico in that opening exchange? Why such a slow start?
To be honest, I can't really kind of put my finger on it. I've watched the goals back a couple of times. They both came from the left-hand side, Carrasco. I guess if you were to... But you can't even blame it on that either. But I'd say, given the fact that like Hermoso was trying to cover for Carrasco and Condogbia, and he was kind of caught in the middle, and I think Liverpool knew exactly how to kind of hurt them there, get the ball across to that area of the field quick, which meant they were allowed to kind of penetrate down that right hand side and then cut in again and cause damage, and Atletico were they were just at sixth and seventh for the opening few minutes, but I don't even think it was anything structural, rather than just kind of a little bit kind of lack of concentration. Carrasco got absolutely destroyed in a one-on-one, and that's the kind of advantage that Liverpool need, and they'll hurt you.
Yeah, in the first goal, Koke's trying to pick the ball off Salah, who just kind of holds him at arm's length, and Koke can't quite get the ball there, so Salah continues to cut to the outside, and the shot goes in off a deflection from Milner in front. And then the second goal is one of those, you know, throw your hands up, and Felipe tries to clear it, it doesn't get far enough, and Naby Keita hits a rocket from outside the box. Just both of those were, to a degree, what do you do with those shots, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I wouldn't really given the fact that Atletico were playing with Kondogbia in centre, I can't remember any time when he had played centrally in the centre defence for Atletico. And so, I mean, a sluggish kind of nervy start was always going to be expected.
Especially against this opponent, right?
Yeah, they can hurt you.
A team like this one. And this was Kondogbia's second appearance this year back there. He played there against Elche, but obviously a very different beast, Elche compared to Liverpool. Two pretty different teams there.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that was what happened in the early exchange. Atletico are behind 2-0 before you can even blink, but then they wake up, Robbie, and for the final portion of that second half, we were treated to some really, really good football from Atletico on the counterattack. Liverpool had around 65-70% first half possession, but Atletico just tore them up on the counterattack. And it started with the first of Griezmann's two goals. He ended up getting two in the first half. The first one was kind of a breakdown from a set piece. Tomalema had a critical role on this goal.
Yeah, they were amazing on the break. And I think the change that Klopp made at the half kind of showed us exactly what he thought he was seeing, in that there was so much space in between the lines. Even it wasn't even so much on the break, and Atletico did look good on the break, but it was more they had them stretched wide and they had them kind of worrying about Griezmann in over the top and Joao Felix in over the top. They were switching the ball quickly, they were combining well. I think it was arguably There was a kind of a 25-minute spell there where I just actually carried on until Griezmann was sent out. But there was a spell there where I would say it was Atletico's best spell of the season.
Mm. Considering the opposition, I think that's a good argument. And considering where this team was a few weeks ago, I mean, with Lemar, Felix, and Griezmann effectively a front three there, with Suarez starting on the bench in this game, they're relatively interchangeable. And you saw this on the second goal, on Griezmann's second goal, around 34 minutes. He's occupying the center backs, where Lemar and Felix have both dropped deep, and Atletico are trying to create overloads. And it worked, really taking advantage of a pretty soft Liverpool midfield without Fabinho in it. Henderson, Milner, and Keita were just kind of given the runaround most of that first half. And then that leaves Griezmann to try his luck against Matip and Van Dijk. And he did for this second goal, when he takes the touch, when Felix turns Keita inside out. Griezmann takes the touch into the box and just hits a lovely sliding finish.
Yeah, and when you look back at that goal, you can see Carrasco's literally, he's actually off the pitch. He's so white, he's actually standing out over the sideline.
That's right.
Pulling Trent Alexander with him, and that means that, I think that's Matip. Matip is out of position. Van Dijk is probably further left than he might like to be. And then Robertson is supposed to be Martin Griezmann, but he just slips in and completely catches blindsides Van Dijk, and then by the time he knows what's happening, Griezmann has the ball taken by him. And that was, I was actually just wondering, like, I mean, I was watching France during the international break, Griezmann was anonymous, and I was just thinking, and the first 20 minutes of that game where Griezmann missed a good chance before his first goal, and I was just wondering, like, I wonder where Antoine Griezmann's head is at right now. Like, in terms of, I mean, I know he scored a good few goals at Barcelona, and I know he ended up kind of blending in well with the squad and kind of becoming part of the team. And I think he's just that kind of guy where he'll just get on with people. But I was just wondering, like, I wonder what he was thinking, especially after coming back from Barcelona to Atletico. I know he had the goal against Getafe, and it was a lovely finish, but, like, he just looks lost. Like, he looks lost until, obviously, that second goal he scored tonight was just absolutely incredible. Like, that is vintage Antoine Griezmann.
Yep.
And I think him playing as the kind of false nine or the number nine in this system with Felix around him, Lemar, and the two wingbacks attacking from wide, I think he can possibly get back to his best. But, like, he does need a couple of games, and the red card just completely took the sting out of his performance as well. Like, and just but he showed with that second goal he does still have it in the locker if he has the mind to do it, or if he can kind of get the couple of lucky breaks he needs to kind of break his duck and to turn his career back around. But it almost is that gone that bad, isn't it, with him? Like, I mean, he was drifting aimlessly there for a couple of years, it felt like. Now, I know, is it even possible to drift aimlessly while you're at Barcelona?
Like, yeah,
maybe not, but I mean, drifting aimlessly, given where he was at one point, third in the Ballon d'Or ranking, and in some ways, I know Griezmann had become kind of a character, someone who was criticised quite often. But he was also avoiding a lot of criticism in that. I was watching him for France, and I was just thinking, like, what does Antoine Griezmann do if he's not scoring loads of goals? Like, I know he offers a bit defensively in that, but like, what does he actually do if he's not assisting a lot and scoring a lot? Like, it's a he's not the kind of player who can get away with his creativity or his link play in the middle. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I just think he needs a couple more of those games like he played today for that kind of 25 minutes play to get back to where he was at one point in his career.
And he's also not the kind of player who thrives off the ball or who thrives away from the ball. We saw that especially his first season at Barcelona, when Suarez and Messi were both in the team around him. It's been a whirlwind for Griezmann, you know, because he comes back to Atletico on the final day of the window, actually after the window closes technically, because it wasn't announced until the next day. And he comes in, starts right away against Espanyol, trying to adapt to a new system, and it looks like he is adapting. Scored the equalizer against Milan, a really delightful finish there, and plays well again today for 50 minutes until he's sent off. But this game is kind of an encapsulation of what it's been like for Griezmann this year. He's getting back on Atletico fans' good side after the way he left, and now he's come back. He scores two goals to get Atletico back into this game where it looked like Liverpool were just going to run riot. Brings them back into the game. It's 2-2 at halftime. And then in the second half, right as he's playing really well as this kind of pseudo false nine with Felix and Lemar around him, early in the second half, Robbie, he gets sent off for a high boot on Roberto Firmino. Was it the right call? And how devastating was it in the end?
I think it was a red card. I mean, yeah, that's a red card. No matter whether you're an Atletico Madrid fan or a Liverpool, that's a red card. You have to have control of your body at all times. Like, I remember seeing Clement Lenglet sent off for Barcelona for the most innocuous elbow. Like, it was just a clumsy looking tackle, and the reason at the time we were given was, it's up to you to make sure that you're not. And he caught someone obviously in the butt of the jaw with his elbow, but it was completely innocuous. There was zero intent. He didn't mean it, and he was sent off. And I thought at the time, I was like, "Wow, that's harsh." But I understood the reasoning. It's like you can't just go around swinging arms and legs. Like, you have to be careful. Like, you're going to hurt someone, and it's not about intent. And I think Griezmann, you often see those ones where you often actually see penalties given away for those where the ball comes over the top and the defender comes in, the attacker sees him and gets it. But like, he caught Firmino right in the face I understand, that's a red card. If the ref doesn't give a red card there, it's completely negligent, I would say.
What shocked me about it is that I'm used to seeing that just given as a yellow card. It's an inconsistent application of that rule. It's clearly a high boot from Griezmann. It is at least a yellow card offense. But when it comes to the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law, it's the inconsistent application that is just so frustrating. No matter which team you support, it's just the inconsistent application of it. Because in a lot of instances, I'd say probably 8 or 9 instances out of 10, I would say that's a yellow card offense. And when it's called a red card, it's pretty surprising, because as you said, it was, there wasn't any intent behind it, and it was, there wasn't, Firmino stayed in the game, he wasn't bleeding, etc. It was incidental, accidental contact. Griezmann is clearly eyeing the ball, we saw this on replay, but it's the inconsistent application of the rule that has benefited other teams, and in this instance, in a vacuum, hurt Atletico.
Yeah. No, I understand that, but at the same time, like, I think if Griezmann doesn't fully extend his leg and kind of just catches him on the, maybe somewhere lower down on the shoulder, it's a yellow card, it's a free, and it's a stern sure. warning, and that's fine.
Sure.
But, you look at that, if that goes to VAR, you're looking at it, and you're like, look, kicked him on the side of the head. Like, I just can't understand how anyone, and Liverpool fans actually, and look, I mean, at the end of the day, people are going to kind of fight their own corner and that, but I remember maybe 3 or 4 years ago, Sadio Mane was sent off for kicking Ederson in the head. Now, Ederson, granted, he was bleeding and had to be taken off, and like, it was pretty bad, but they were arguing, saying, oh, he was going for the ball and he did no intent and all that, and I was just like, look, and I had arguments with Liverpool fans, friends here, like staunch Liverpool supporters, saying, and they stuck with that for ages after. They were like, it wasn't a red, it's not a red. I was just like, oh my God, like, I mean, it's a red card. You can't kick someone in the face. You can't kick someone in the face. No matter how much intent is involved, and there's no one saying Antoine Griezmann, I don't actually think he's a dirty ball in his body, but you can't kick someone in the face. And it's as simple as that. I mean, you know, and it can be an absolute cracker of a game, and you can blame the ref or ruin the flow, and I understand that, and people are upset, but looking at that objectively, that's a red card. 100 times out of 100, and it's as simple as that.
And it was a really tough decision for Atletico, because the game was trending in their direction based on how the balance of that first half had gone, and it was incidental, accidental, whatever you want to call it. Whether it's given or not in other games doesn't really matter in this case. In this case, it was given. And in this case, Atletico are down to 10 men. They continue to play pretty well, I thought, after that for the next 15, 20 minutes. And then there's really no doubt about the penalty that Liverpool won in the 75th minute from Hermoso bringing down Diogo Jota. No debate there.
The fact that it was so early in the second half, it gave Liverpool a chance to kind of try a couple of different things and really, really get a sense for what was needed to win the game. And if you get sent off at 15 minutes ago, it's kind of like, just hang on here and we can somehow manage to hang on. But the fact that Atletico, it was so early in the second half, Liverpool had a chance to kind of settle down, have a think about it, and then attack the way they did. But Atletico, even when they were drawing, like they didn't really kind of retreat and just sit back and soak up pressure like we have seen and grown accustomed to seeing Diego Simeone's side. They never really stopped going at Liverpool, and it was an awful pity actually that the red card came when it did, because Atletico had started that second half way better than Liverpool.
Right.
They were definitely the team in the ascendancy. They had the momentum, and I think that I don't know what might happen if Griezmann stays on the field, because Joao Felix is really, and you could actually see Joao Felix after the just at the end of the game, like, it was just like he was really upset, because it felt like, with the Hermoso penalty, it was like I don't want to take away from Liverpool's performance, they were fine, but like, Atletico gave that one to them, they did. And I mean, like, if a team earns a victory against you or squeaks a victory out, like, that's fine, but Mario Hermoso gave Liverpool the 3 points there tonight, and I don't think that there's any ifs, ands, or buts about it. That was one of the most ridiculously stupid decisions I've seen. What was he doing?
Just a boneheaded play, trying to fight for the ball, allegedly trying to fight for the ball, but really instead he goes after Jota and brings him down in the box.
Yeah, like, and there's a difference in bravery and stupidity. Like,
right.
There's, like, he had taken down Fabinho earlier, and it was like, oh, bone crunching tackle, and kind of thou shalt not pass here. Like, and it was like, oh yeah, you tell him, Mario. And then all of a sudden, the ball flows up into the air. and he goes again and just absolutely cleans him out of it. Like, I mean, there isn't a referee in the world that would even overturn that, that wouldn't give that penalty.
Yeah, no question.
I mean,
about it.
Unforgivable stuff, like, really. I mean, for Griezmann, I could, there's no problem. You went for the ball. That, you know, these things happen again, football. At this speed, and these things happen, no problem. Hermoso, the ball in the air, like, Jota had to do so much to get it under his control, and then to do anything with it. Then, I mean, the odds were stacked in Hermoso's favor, and he just absolutely bundles into him. Ridiculous.
Yeah, and it looked premeditated, and he judged it completely wrong. And Hermoso, for a defender as good as he can be, he does have these mistakes in his locker. Defensively, he's pretty vulnerable. As much value as he offers Atletico, and we both wrote about this last year, and how much value he offers in ball progression and carries and pushing it forward and progressive distance and some of the advanced metrics, he really does make too many mistakes defensively, and he can be picked on.
Yeah, and it's kind of like he just he gets into the and it's understandable. I have no idea how difficult it is to kind of keep right at the, when you're defending against Liverpool, how difficult it is to go from. To stay right on the edge with, like, and keep the intensity up without tipping over the edge. But sometimes Hermoso just gets caught up in everything and is liable to do anything, like, you know. And that's fine for an attacker. You can be a bit of a maverick and try things, and Luis Suarez is a bit crazy at times. But as a defender, like, it's a fatal flaw, like, you know, and it's the kind of flaw that stops players from reaching their full potential, because you're looking at him going, okay, he hasn't made a mistake in 3 months or 6 games or 4 weeks or whatever, but you're like, but he does have it in his locker, like, and it'll be a hard one to take for Simeone, because that was, and it felt like during the game, it felt like this feat, after the Barcelona game, and we were kind of looking at it going, ah, yeah, that's fine, but they're Barcelona, they're not going well, and yeah, like, you know, but like, this was coming back for a 2-0 deficit, having your man who scored 2 goals, your best player arguably, being sent off within 10 minutes of the second half and hanging on for a point would have been, see, not that they need a season-changing performance, but it felt like this was going to solidify Atletico are here. Atletico are legit. They finally figured out how to kind of balance defending with attacking. But just all got wiped away. Now, granted, that silly mistake doesn't take away from the fact that Atletico were really, really good for long spells of that game. But I think getting something from the game, given how it started, would have been an absolutely massive boost for Atletico going into the game of the weekend. But it's as I said, they handed that one to them, and I think that one will sting. Just that, and those ones where you give it to them just sting that little bit more and linger on the mind a little bit more. And yeah.
And it's got to be a quick turnaround, because, as we'll talk about at the end here, there's another big game coming up this weekend against the current leaders of La Liga in Real Sociedad, Robbie. But, yeah, as you said, that was a mistake that, like, listen, you can't debate that one. It was a clear penalty, and Hermoso lost his head. And coming back from 2-0 down early to equalize and then playing pretty much the entire second half with 10 men, earning a draw would have been, I think pretty much everyone would have taken that result, right? Given the circumstances that Atletico started the game under and how the game was conditioned in the second half, I think a draw would have been a very good result, especially as Porto went on to beat Milan. However, it was not to be. And then 5 minutes after the Salah penalty that gives Liverpool the lead for good, there's another appeal at the other end of the pitch. Jose Jimenez goes down under contact from Diogo Jota. It's initially given as a penalty to Atletico. Luis Suarez is all ready to take it. It goes to VAR, and then, oh, wait a minute, no penalty.
Yeah. For me, that's a penalty as well.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Like, if he didn't give it, and he just played on and that was it, I'd be like, yeah, like... Once the decision is made, it's maybe it's not the, I know, I remember in the NFL, American football, they had clear and undisputable evidence of, to change it. Like, it had to be absolutely, it's the referee's decision unless you have absolutely uncontroversial, uncontrovertible.
Anyway,
evidence to the contrary. And I think in this occasion, you're looking at that going, Jota kind of knows what he's doing. No, obviously not even half as clumsy as what Mario Hermoso did, but he can kind of see Jimenez is maybe going to get it. Jimenez only has eyes for the ball, and Jota kind of moves his legs in the direction of Jimenez to in order to kind of catch him. And I just think that how the referee went and was like, oh yeah, no, I got that one wrong. Like, you know, given the fact that he had, and my whole point about a lot of these things is that these games don't just happen in a, although, you know what, like, I mean, like, it's funny because the referee did fine in some way. I think the Griezmann was a red card and everything, but like, he actually gave Atletico a goal because I thought the Lemar or the first Griezmann goal was offside. I thought that Lemar was definitely interfering with play. So he got that one wrong, and I thought he got the Jimenez one wrong. So in a way, they even out. But that shouldn't really be the way you're doing it.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a makeup call game. You know, it shouldn't be a game of makeup calls. You get one right, and then you get one wrong in response.
No,
or vice versa.
But I think he did. Yeah, I think he got those two wrong anyway. But
yeah. Like, yeah, as you said, like I didn't see on the multiple replay angles, like the multiple VAR output angles that were on the broadcast, like there, I didn't see any clear evidence to overturn the initial call of the spot kick. I didn't see any evidence to it.
Yeah, what I thought he was doing was, I thought when he was going back to the VAR, I thought he was checking for an potential offside.
I did too.
Oh, maybe that's what he'll do. But then he just said, no, it's not a penalty. Like, I don't know how he overturned that. And again, this is where I would say, not an inconsistent application of rules, because that's the kind of one where you're looking at the replay going, that's not a penalty, but now that he's given it, he's not going to overturn it. And whereas on this occasion, there's no way he's overturning this. And then he did, so yeah, weird one.
A weird decision to cap a weird game, right? It's very harsh on Atletico, because I think overall they played really well, about as well as they played the entire season, which has been rather stop-start in nature based on how many players were gone over the summer and the preseason where several players didn't play a single minute. That was as good as Atletico have looked all year, and they clearly prepared very well for this game, had to fight back to get back into the game after Liverpool looked like they were going to just roar to 3 points, and in the end Atletico still lose. It's a psychological blow, but the positives are that Atletico's attack just looks better and better, and the Milan game I think still could be viewed as a transitional or a transformational kind of game for this squad. I think they deserve more from this game, and it's tough to talk that we have to talk about the refereeing decisions once again, because we've had the João Felix red card against Athletic, we've had the stoppage time application in La Liga, we've talked about that as well during the season. So I hate to keep talking about the referees, but it's part of the narrative, it's part of the story of the game, and Atletico have to bounce back now this weekend against Real Sociedad. And have to take the positives over.
Yeah, and I think actually more maybe importantly than one important thing to notice as well is the fact that Atletico, someone really, really important is going to miss out if Simeone wants to get any kind of consistency. He can keep chopping and changing and keep making subs at half time and keep us guessing as to what he's going to do, but if he wants a set 11, and I think what we saw, if you add Savage into the center half I'm not entirely sure about Koke as deep lying midfielder, but forget about that. Just in attack, you're looking at Rodrigo de Paul, Lemar, and then maybe a Kanda. We see. Thank God I don't have to make the decision. But anyway, so you're looking at Rodrigo de Paul, Lemar, Felix, and Griezmann as the four. Trippier and Carrasco either side of them, that's six. And then you've got your three defenders and whoever else as the deep line midfielder. That means Suarez misses out, possibly Llorente misses out.
Right.
And yeah, I think this could be somewhat of a problem for Simeone, keeping everyone happy and making sure that he gets consistent performances. Because kind of moving Griezmann around and it will end up him going back to what I spoke about earlier, that those anonymous performances where you're looking at him going, I forgot he was playing. And if you asked me what position he was playing or what his role was, I would not be able to tell you. So I think he has to kind of find a role for Griezmann and play him there regularly and make him feel important. And that means Suarez. And Suarez came on tonight and he was just pissed off. He was lucky he wasn't sent off.
Yeah, he almost did at the very end, barking at the ref. Yeah, he almost got sent off.
My God, I was like, oh, here we go. He's gone. I was like, he's gone. He's still going. I was like, oh, sorry. I actually had to close my eyes. I was kind of cringing, looking. I was like, oh, Ezzie Suarez, shut up.
Get your money's worth and shut up.
And I think Suarez himself was kind of worried. He was looking. He was like, oh, I'm going too far. I'm going to die, but I can't stop.
I just can't stop talking.
It's like me and the podcast. Oh my God. Oh God.
Very self-aware show. Oh, but, man. But yeah, you're right. The selection questions, it's already cost Correa a bunch of time. And Correa was really valuable at the end of last season. And he's been re-relegated, as it were, to a substitute role, which he showed he had kind of outgrown last season, so it's tough on him. Llorente starts on the bench for this game, even though he had been injured over the break. Kondogbia isn't going to be in this team's best 11, but also he kind of has to be, right? Because with Koke as the deepest lying midfielder, Adletti are way too soft in that line, in that midfield line, if he's the deep lying pivot.
Exactly, and we've seen in the past, and I actually was in the middle of writing an article about it. I actually watched Spain with Koke against Italy, and I was watching particularly Koke, and he was playing everywhere. He was playing like to the left, like an interior ahead of Busquets, with Gavi to the right of him, and he was absolutely everywhere, and he was key to every team that Spain did against Italy in the Nations League semi-final. And I was looking at going like, you know what, like, he's never, and I was like just thinking about the rhythm he had to Atletico, and we've spoken and we've heard Simeone speak about what Koke gives the team in terms of tempo and things like that. But when you play him as the deep line, in the Busquets role, we'll call it, he's not the same player. He can't cover ground vertically or horizontally in the same manner. And he just, he's a little bit like the odd man out here, because if you play a Kondogbia, so this is really tough for Simeone, because he's lost Rodrigo, who was tailor-made for that role. He's lost Thomas Partey, another player who is an upgrade on Kondogbia. He's had to settle, and I don't mean to be bad to Kondogbia or anything, but he's had to settle for a Kondogbia, and he's just, we know he's just not that impressed by it. He's playing Kondogbia because he almost has to. If Koke has everything except for that, like, kind of lateral movement and his ability to cover that kind of space in and read the game the way that Busquets does, and Koke is kind of being shoved into that role at the moment, and doesn't really, it's not really natural, you know?
It's not what Ikoke was never going to be, the Xavi successor, as was mooted earlier in his career, and he's also not going to be the new Busquets. Koke is different from both of those, like, kind of stereotypical, like, prototypical Spanish midfielder profiles. Koke is a very different player, and that's part of what makes him so valuable but also so difficult to pin down, is because his role has never really been clearly defined, and that's mostly been by design. Simeone has shifted him all across the midfield as he's seen fit, but right now with how Atletico play in this 3-5-2, Koke can't play as a wingback, and Atletico have quality wingbacks already in the squad, so it's not necessarily sink or swim, but it's not also not an optimal role for Koke, because he's kind of stuck there.
Yeah, but at the same time, he is so important to everything that Atletico do in terms of kind of their, as I said, the tempo, but also kind of just a leader on the pitch, and he's Simeone's guy, you know. And having like it's a really strange one, because he's 29 now. And he is, he was in exile for the Spanish national team, but he broke back in, and he's not their most important player, but he is vital to Luis Enrique's plans, and I think he's proving he's really important in the right position. But right now, it feels like, and I wonder if Simeone's secretly thinking, where does Koke fit in this team? And I think if they had a player like Rodri to play that role, I don't know if Koke plays at all then. It's a tough one, and it'll be interesting, and we should remember this chat we're having, because I'd love to go back over it at the end of the season and see how Simeone manages it, because this is going to define, well, it's going to define their next couple of years, but it could possibly define this season and how he manages all those personalities, all those big names, and the talent he has in his squad.
Yeah, I'm going to put a bookmark in this conversation, because I think we are going to circle back to it. Koke's position and his role has for years been so vital to whether Atletico succeed or not. And in the three games he missed this season, Atletico only won one of them, and that stretch included a loss at Alaves, who, by the way, have not scored a goal since that game against Atletico, it must be mentioned. But it is back to La Liga this weekend, Robbie, and the defending champions are hosting the current leaders. La Real do not have Mikel Oyarzabal. He's out injured, and they have a game in Austria on Thursday in the Europa League. How do you see this one going? Can Atletico bounce back?
Yeah, again, it's actually kind of not bad for Atletico, given the fact that they do like to play against teams that kind of like to play expressive football, as you saw against Barcelona, as you saw against Liverpool. Their two best performances of the year, and they played Elche, Espanyol, lots of teams that kind of wouldn't be as expressive with the ball. So Real Sociedad is a never an easy one, of course, but it is the kind of game where it feels like it will be open, and I think that Simeone will like to take the momentum that they had going, at least, from this Liverpool game, and take it into the game at the weekend. And I think that, never an easy one against Real Sociedad, but I think that given the fact that it will be open, and Griezmann's coming into a bit of form, Joe Felix will probably continue, is getting fit, and hopefully we'll see the best of him again, and continue to see his best form. And I think Atletico win this one, 2-0, I'll say.
2-0.
You didn't even ask me for a prediction.
Yeah, you gave it anyway. Love it. Not even prompted, Robbie. But quickly on Joao, that first half that we saw tonight was Joao really in full bloom, right? That is as good as he's looked in a year. He really does seem to have the ankle problems behind him. Renan Lodi gave an interview to Mundo Deportivo over the international break and said people don't know what Joao was going through last season. He played with a busted ankle for 5 months and still was able to find some way to contribute to the league title winners last year. And what he did against a very, very good Liverpool defense this evening, is absolutely a positive that Atletico can take, that Simeone and the fans can take from this game, is how good he looks and how exciting a player he is when he's going at full throttle like he was tonight before the red card. So I'm going to say he scores this weekend, and I'm going to say Atletico do win against a La Real team that has, even with all the injuries they've had, not just Oyarzabal but David Silva too, and others, they've just been finding ways to get results. I do think that comes to an end this weekend, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can be guaranteed now we'll be coming in after the game, and Atletico will have lost 3-0 after both of our predictions. So, but no, I agree with you. I think Joe Felix is proving. Yeah, and we obviously didn't know what was going on. Although you could tell there was something wrong with him. There was something. I thought it was like he was unhappy. But yeah, the guy was like, "There's something not right here. There's something not right." And we're not being told the whole story. And I thought it was a mental thing, and that he was pissed off and whatnot. But no, it turns out it was the ankle, and he. Yeah, I guess he just needs a run of games, and he needs to. We've seen now, I think, that Suarez being dropped for this game, I think, and I was saying it earlier in the season, I think we might have seen that we've seen Suarez is kind of, he's just dipped, and I don't think he's going to get it back. He might be important to come on and late in the game looking for a goal or whatever, but I don't know, he can't be a starter in this Atletico team if they fancy themselves as La Liga champions and if they want to make a decent run in the Champions League.
Yeah, it was...
I think it's Joe Felix's team.
A few more performances like this, and I'm going to agree with you. You know, he has to get a sustained run of form that he hasn't really had in a couple years, but it was really curious that Suarez started on the bench tonight. I know he played quite a bit for Uruguay and suffered a knock to his knee while on playing in the qualifiers for Uruguay, but yeah, Suarez in this game, this is a big game, and I kind of expected that he would be there to start it. And Felix and Griezmann, Simeone has insisted that they can play together, and they obviously played very well together. So Suarez is another one that we've been talking about. Do Atletico have a Suarez problem and so on? But they really might, if the team looks this good and this fluid in attack without him out there. Then it's going to be something to keep an eye on, because that's a big ego and that's a big name and a big rep to be keeping on the bench.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. So and let's see how he handles it.
Yeah.
We saw him today coming out getting sent off, but it'd be interesting to see how Simeone manages that one. But and if Suarez accepts the fact that he is the guy. He is just a bench player now.
I'm really just hoping when we come back Sunday that we don't have to talk about the refereeing. That's my top hope. And then after that, I'm hoping we can talk about a win. But refereeing controversy, I've had enough.
I want to talk with Joe Felix just for 60, 40, 35 minutes, whatever. Just talk about Joe Felix. I hope he's, because he's one of those players that can do things like that touch out on the left sideline tonight. I was just like, oh.
Oof, yes.
I was just like, imagine being that good at something and you could hear the one that they were like, oh, it was like, oh my god, that is just absolutely brilliant. And he does have that in the locker, and if he can show that regularly, Atletico Madrid are gonna be hard to stop this year and a lot of fun to watch.
Even after losing like this to Liverpool, Atletico did play well enough, and João Felix certainly played well enough to maybe get a bit more. And it's like akin to that feeling when you've written a really good paragraph. You're like, that just sounds so good. I don't have to go back and edit that at all.
Yeah, oh. Leave it. Perfect.
The perfect lead or something, you know. On that note, Robbie, we will sign off for the day. Thank you so much for hopping on the show, as ever.
Absolutely no problem. I'll chat to you in a couple of days.
And we will be back on Sunday. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for your continued support. Keep it on Into the Calderon and patreon.com/ColChinero Chat for more audio goodies. We'll talk to you all again soon. Adios. We'll be right back.
Thank you.